joined by Lance Zerline. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
First weekend of, I know we've all gotten old because we're sitting here talking about investments on the break. Yeah, and I mean not gambling investments.
We're all looking for exit strategies.
Yeah.
Happens when you get old, man.
Well, would you say disappointing start to the season for the Texans?
I'd say that's a very fair word.
I think that like the bad coaching is expected. So that's not, I mean, it's frustrating, obviously, but it's not something that, there's zero chance they're going to come in and not be, you know, and be well coached. But I thought Deshaun Watson was disappointing. I thought that the offensive play calling specifically was disappointing. I thought Watson held onto the ball too long.
Way too long.
I just thought that the guy who we've been talking about all offseason as the savior of this team was anything but in week one. And granted, Bill Belichick's going to he's going to take that away from you and make you do it, you know, the way you don't want to do it. But that was a frustrating start for Deshaun.
Man, the first thing I thought of was I didn't think he played well at all. Completely out of rhythm, completely looked hesitant getting through his reads, wasn't making quick decisions after the snap. There were some open throws, especially early open throws, and instead of, boom, hitting it and getting in rhythm, he never got in a rhythm. I mean, he never, ever got in a rhythm. And I think, you know, it's hard for us to know because I don't know what the game plan was. I don't know what all the routes were. I mean, I'm going to take a look at it when the All-22 comes out tomorrow because I really am interested in seeing what it looks like underneath and what the routes were. But I think it was a case of Bill Belichick having a full offseason to prepare for one quarterback. And then my guess is he took some of the easy stuff away. Whatever tendencies he saw with the easy throws, he probably took that away and said, okay, you're playing chess now. You're not playing checkers. You're going to play chess. And this is one of the reasons I've been hesitant to just go all in on Deshaun Watson because I've seen this too many times with other quarterbacks where they get off to a quick start, but then once teams have tape on them, Jimmy Garoppolo got a little taste of it too. Once they get tape on you and they have time to school up on you, then it turns into a chess match. And then it's really a fight game, really. I think it's counterpunching. You know, you get countered. They go from you know, orthodox to southpaw, and now you're going to see something different, and it may take you a little while to get used to it, but you're going to have to find a way to counter and attack in a I think a lot of this comes down to boxing and a fight game when you talk about football. There's a lot of metaphors, and right now Bill Belichick and other defense coordinators are going to show Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien something different, and they're going to have to learn to counter and do something that counters the move that they just made. It really is going to be a chess match now where you got to counter to their counter. And Dak Prescott hasn't done it since his rookie season. Jimmy Garoppolo, we got to see if he can do it. We know RG3 struggled after what was a great rookie season. I think Deshaun will get it. But you can't just automatically assume he's a Hall of Famer because, I mean, there's coordinators who their whole life is taking things away from you that you like to do and making you uncomfortable. And that was clearly the case yesterday. That guy never looked comfortable, hung on to it forever, and then left the pocket without cause at times, which I didn't love.
Yeah, I was really frustrated. I didn't know if it was the way they were using him. But then as the game went on, I said, man, it's just him. It's him trying to let things develop downfield, knowing damn well that his offensive line isn't going to afford him that luxury. And then even on the RPOs, and it cost him on the very first play of the game.
The mesh point, yeah.
But he's just holding on to that ball longer than he should, or he's waiting too long to pull it back. I just thought it was really frustrating. And I assume he's going to get better as the season goes on. But not definitely not the start that they hoped for.
I think he looked like a guy that was trying to be a second-level quarterback where he was like, I'm going to sit back here. I'm going to get through all these progressions. I'm going to take my time. And yesterday probably called for the opposite. And it doesn't make you a lesser quarterback to take quick reads
right. And
get into a rhythm. And
I always call that the Tannehill approach.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Tannehill almost has no interest in throwing anything further than 10 yards down the field.
Right.
And I'm not crazy about Ryan Tannehill, But because Ryan Tannehill is Ryan Tannehill, that's probably the best thing for him.
Yeah.
Is to do that.
Not Deshaun, but at the same time, I think he tried to show that next level approach, and it wasn't working.
Well, so how many weapons beside DeAndre Hopkins did he have for the next level?
That's the problem, is you had nobody to stretch those safeties way down the field and open up that deep middle. And without Will Fuller, we can talk about Kevin Johnson all we want, because Kevin Johnson is just always hurt. And I wouldn't even be surprised, after Bill O'Brien saying he'll be out for at least 4 weeks, this may be it for Kevin Johnson.
It wouldn't shock
you. You're going to have concussion stacked on concussion. This could be one of those injury settlement, boom, good night. We're moving on to the next guy. We'll see how it goes, and I hope he's okay. But, you know, it's not like the play was all that great anyway. But with Will Fuller, he's getting to be on my nerves, too, in that same way. I love what he brings to the table as an explosive threat. The ability to terrorize safeties and put fear into their hearts and the hearts of coordinators is so important. But if you can't stay on the field,
What's the point?
I mean, who cares? And Will Fuller's hurt before the season begins. I mean, this is getting old. With Will Fuller, lately, you've had these first-round picks now are the guys who've been hurt lately. Whitney Mercilus. And I'm not saying it's their fault. Whitney had an ACL. JJ, two straight years are hurt. Kevin Johnson, never healthy. Will Fuller, rarely healthy. This is a lot of your guys who are core players who have not been healthy for the last couple years.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. What was the first of all, someone told me that you were high on Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
What did you see in that guy? Because I couldn't believe.
When I watched him on tape, he really, you can go back and look at, I can tell you like three different games, Clemson, Oklahoma State, and there was one other game. This is a couple years now. But he throws on time. He gets it out on time. He's very accurate with his ball placement and stuff like that. You know, the problem is the NFL game is much, much faster. I watched that game. I watched three games very closely, four games, Cincinnati, Indy, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Buffalo, Ravens, which was an atrocity. And I was just watching for Peterman. And then, obviously, the Texans. And he's been stuck in some really tough situations. I don't think he's going to be an NFL starter at all, because I just don't think the physical talent is there. But what he does, he has some traits that I really do like, but he never had a chance against the Ravens. They were all over him from jump street. The pass protection was awful. He was getting passes deflected. He just looked like he was rushing it a little bit. And accuracy, ball placement, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Case Keenum didn't really – he was slow coming out of the gate, and he's developed over time into a quarterback. And I would have never guessed that he'd be a starter on even an average team, not to mention a good team last year with Minnesota. Maybe Peterman can take that route. But right now, he got stuck with a tough one against the Chargers, a tough one against the Ravens, but you got to show better than you did. And he'll probably not get another chance. He may get a chance this week, but Josh Allen is not going to be ready either. I mean, if Buffalo wins four, it's going to be a miracle.
I mean, it was just such a mistake, I think, to trade A.J. McCarron. And you didn't really get anything, you know, decent for him.
You really liked Peterman's potential. And if you did, you can't bail on week one after playing the Ravens defense. No. You got to give them more chances, and you got to stick with your guns to say we're not going to play Josh Allen. Because already.
If you do that, you're basically just saying we have no chance to compete this season, which a year after you were in the playoffs, that's tough for a fan base to stomach, even though I think it's realistic. I don't care which one of those two guys plays. I think they're a top five draft pick.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go get a top five draft pick. I mean, Ed Oliver, Nick Bosa, Raekwon, Davis over at Alabama. I mean, Trey Adams, the tackle out of Washington. I mean, any number of guys out there who will be pretty good players, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. For the Texans, I really think the Texans, I want to see Deshaun look like he looked against the Cincinnati Bengals last year, but there are people who made pretty good points on Twitter, and that is maybe NFL teams have to start reevaluating how they're utilizing their players in the preseason. We've had so much talk about, lack of practice. You know, we don't want to practice as much, and we don't want to do this, and concussions, and this, and not – let's eliminate the preseason altogether. You know what's really showing up is players who don't get ready in the preseason. Imagine this, they're rusty. they're not ready to go in season. And Deshaun Watson looked like a guy who was rusty.
But it looks like a guy who hasn't played with the guys he was on the field with.
That's which is, you know, accurate. I don't think they're going to be that much worse off with Shontrell Henderson out. I don't think it's going to make that big a difference. How bad is it, though, that the team that started the season last year, the quarterback and four of the offensive linemen who started last year are not even
gone
in football?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? That's the
starter. Oh, actually, Xavier Suofilo signed with the Cowboys today.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's great news if you're not a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, if you hate the Cowboys. Hey, I want to ask you, I don't know if you had a chance to look too closely yet, but I thought Rankin looked pretty good after giving up the first sack and after the first few plays when he settled in. I'm just curious your thoughts, since I know you know offensive line is better than anybody.
So I thought he was okay. The one area where I think he's going to have problems in the NFL is when you have guys who are real speed rushers who will race him to the outside, and we saw that yesterday. When he got beat, it was with the really wide rush. I think being able to set all the way out to get out to that speed is going to be a little bit of a challenge for him. Ultimately, I thought he was a guard or center in the NFL, so we'll see what happens. I don't know that this is going to be his full-time spot, but it is now, and it will probably be for the rest of the year. So we'll see. I think he'll
probably get hurt this week.
Yeah, I hope not.
God, I just can't wait to see more Kendall Lamb on the field.
You just wait. Mm. You're going to get a little taste of it at some point, but they may have to play some tight end over on his side and really – give him some help in pass pro, just even to slow guys down. Because I do think speed rushers off the edge are going to be a concern for him.
Well, Titans, Texans, the only NFL game next week without an early line. Obviously because Mariota's his status is up in the air. But what are your thoughts on the matchup, given what you saw of both those teams this week?
So I watched some of the Titans, too. That was a really tough watch. For one, there was too long, for those people who don't know, there was too long delays because of lightning. Neither team really gotten much of a groove. Both of them had kick returns for touchdowns, which accounted for some of the points. I don't think it helps the Titans, not only with the quarterback issue, but having a game that lasted whatever it was, 8 hours, and totally throws off your travel plans, puts you in much later. It's not something that's really going to help you necessarily. It's going to hurt you a little bit, but I think the Texans, based on what I saw from both of those teams, are more likely to bounce back, especially if Will Fuller can make it back. I think they're more likely to bounce back than the Titans. The Titans, man, that just did not look good in their secondary either. And that's
your Vrabel defense, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy you were also high on.
Well, we'll find out.
I thought it was crazy that in a game where the field is basically just a mud bowl, they went away from Derrick Henry in the second half and just said, you know what, he wasn't successful in the first half, so we just quit.
You know, Dell said, who's a big Miami fan, said that a Dolphins fan, he said the field wasn't all that compromised, that mostly it was lightning and stuff. Which
was it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
I just assume it was a downpour.
That's what I assume, and it was very dark on the screen. Yeah. But he said the field wasn't as compromised as you would think. So I was surprised, too, and my fantasy team was very surprised.
Oh, no.
Very surprised. There's nothing like having Kenyon Drake and going up against Derrick Henry, and I'm like, I hope both these guys go off. And then it was just like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, and then the Titans lose Delanie Walker for the season.
By the way, is that for the season?
For the season, yeah.
Oh, that's a
broken ankle.
One.
And then Lawan is in concussion protocol after that cheap shot he took.
Who is?
Taylor Lawan.
Yeah.
And that was the frustrating thing, that Miami, two dirty hits, basically. Oh. That changes the outlook for the Titans.
But if you had plus one at home, then
you do what you got to do.
That's what you had.
Do what you got to do.
So you know what I raised? I raised fantasy football kids now. This year, I had my first fantasy draft with my three kids. I was like, all right, let's all get in the league. They all played separately on NFL.com for the first year. So we all had a draft, and one of my sons invited two of his friends from school, and then we filled out the rest of the teams with like three different people on Twitter. I just said, whoever wants to play, hit me up on direct message, and it's a free league. So we all had our draft, and my kids really got into it, and I was really a happy dad. I'm like, this is great. We all had a fantasy draft. They're all excited about it, talking about their teams. One of my kids snuck out of bed in the middle of the night to try to set up his lineup, but he forgot his password, so he tried to reset password, but it goes to my email. So I busted him for being out at 12:26 a.m. But what really sucked is Tom Brady, like early in the game, the first series, he completes a pass for whatever it was, 17, 18 yards, and my son Mason goes, yeah, he's on my team. And I'm like, oh, I'm raising he's on my team fantasy kids.
Yeah.
This is terrible. He's cheering against his hometown team.
Right.
Because that's how quickly fantasy and gambling
will
turn you
your
against your home team so quickly. And my son was super, I mean, he was like, I said, you're going to have to get out of this room. We're not watching this. This area here is going to be Texans plus dads plus points. But this area right now, I know. This area, I shouldn't have even been close.
Yeah.
But this area right here, we're not having all this screaming and yelling for Tom Brady because he's on your fantasy team. And I had to hear this draft today. Yeah, that's every catch, every highlight from every game. He's on my team. He's on my all three of them. Anybody who made a catch, Larry Fitzgerald, he's on my team.
I got to be honest, that's more sensible than like cheering for a team because of the jersey they wear. I really do think like when you've got some sort of investment, like whether it be, and eventually that fantasy football will be a financial investment.
Where do you live as an investment too? Ask Astro fans. Who have been down, and then they had ultimate excitement. Fred, you've lived here forever. You got to cheer for some uniforms still.
Not so much anymore. I mean,
but you're also a gambler. I mean, it skews everything.
It does, and it should.
It does skew everything. It really does.
No, because I tend not to gamble on the local teams, so it doesn't really matter. It's just I've spent most of my life having to be completely unbiased about stuff. So I've never, I mean, I want them to win, but I'm always trying to look at it. I'll always look at it from a...
When you're analytical, it does change.
Yeah,
change.
I'm just soulless when it comes to teams. I just don't care about anybody. Like
nobody.
Like there's nobody who because I think the craziest thing is when your favorite team loses and it somehow ruins your day or your weekend. Like I don't that's such a foreign concept to me.
Is it really?
It really is. See,
I understand why people are like that, but like
what did you really lose?
Well, have you had a gut punch? You know what? But this is MMA guy thought process, too, because Joe Rogan thinks the same thing. Like, Joe Rogan can't even get into ball sports. He's like, I don't understand. There's nothing on the line in football, basketball, or baseball. He said, when you close the cage, it's you versus another guy. And he had this whole explanation to us one time in studio. And I could understand it. I mean, it doesn't land for me.
Right.
But I understood what he was saying. It's almost like, what does it really all mean? And it didn't have meaning to him. And you're saying... cheering for a city or a town or a team from, in essence, you're cheering for a town or a city.
I guess.
It doesn't, well, I mean, the team represents that area. Maybe not in college, but it represents the college. But once you start going down the road of gambling, you're a Ronin. I mean, your allegiance has changed. I had a handicapping business when I was 24 years old.
Well,
your allegiances can change from half to half.
We've talked about this before. Like, Fred and I have. I used to, when I was a kid, I loved the Rockets. I loved Akeem. I loved that Rockets squad. I don't like the players on the Rockets now. So why should I cheer for the Rockets? Because they play in my city? Like, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to cheer for guys I don't like because they wear the right color shirt.
I know Harden.
I don't like James Harden. And I didn't like Dwight Howard. Like, that, when those two guys.
They've been gone a while.
That was like the top two guys. It's like.
Did you like the way PJ Brown plays?
PJ Tucker? I like PJ Tucker.
I do. I like him. You like Chris?
But I don't. I like Chris. I mean, Chris frustrates me because he's like Will Fuller. Like, you know, he's never going to be on the field.
Capella?
He's okay. But I don't like any of them enough to overcome my disdain for James Harden. No. I mean, it's just not enough.
I understand that. It's one of the rare instances where the best player in the city, you know, maybe in the city, definitely in basketball, one of the best players in all of basketball, the reigning MVP, is not as well liked by so many people now. There's a lot of fans. The overwhelming majority like James Harden.
Like, who do you think has a higher approval rating? Jose Altuve or James Harden?
Not even close. Who do you ever hear about say, boy, I saw Altuve.
Altuve's driving me crazy. Loafing.
There's too many people who have stories about James.
Or that questioning don't even his involve. Effort.
Well, now, the effort against San Antonio, that's something where I could see you have a hard time coming back from that. Even if you're a hardcore fan. I mean... to this day, I'll never forget that, where he didn't try.
Well, don't you remember the time Jose Altuve paid to get Jose Cruz Jr. beat up at
a
strip club?
No, see, I don't remember that.
No, he didn't do that? Oh, no, weird.
I don't remember
weird. That. Weird. That's, stuff like that.
Remember that time Altuve continued to take and struck out three times in a game in an elimination game against the Kansas City Royals?
Oh, I do remember
that. Yeah, in 2015. Yeah. Oh, wait, that didn't happen either.
No.
He didn't intentionally just take until he had called strikes on every at-bat. That, in essence, was what James did against the Spurs.
Yes.
That's what he did.
That's
what,
so for me, I like, and for instance, I do like this Astros team. I find them easy to cheer for with just a couple of exceptions. Like they seem like a bunch of good.
You know,
like I don't. I think Alex Bregman's a douchebag.
Oh, I forgot that. But the guy can play. Killer, though.
Yeah, he can
it's
play.
A great player.
And honestly, if like, you know, he's not enough to turn me like the my dislike for him isn't enough to turn me off from the rest of that team, who I think is a bunch of likable dudes. Yeah. So I do cheer for them. But if they turn around tomorrow and they've got six Alex Bregmans. I'm not interested. I don't care where you play your games at. I'm a mercenary. I either want to watch you play or I don't. And if I gamble on you, I'll cheer for you. If I gamble against you, I'll cheer against you.
Right.
But like you can ask Fred, before the Warriors were even good, I was like, I'm staying up every night. I'm staying up
they're
and
fun
watching
to watch.
TNT because this Warriors team is so fun.
But the Astros have been the Warriors
they
the
have
last
been.
Few years.
They are, and they're fun to watch.
They are.
See, the teams I root for have nothing to do with my job. Like I love watching the Toronto Maple Leafs and like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, teams like that.
He has loyalty to some teams.
Yeah, I do have loyalty to those teams, and it has nothing to do with my job because I don't ever talk about those on here except to say, hey, I bet on them or whatever. And
one of my strongest loyalties to my Premier League team, Everton. Yeah.
You know who?
Because it's blind. I don't have any.
You know, probably the team I have the most loyalty to is the Nashville Predators. I used to have season tickets when I lived in Nashville. And I think the reason why is I don't watch hockey until the playoffs, and I only watch playoff hockey if they're in it.
Yeah,
which they are every year.
And I don't bet on hockey ever. So it's
like a virgin territory for you. It's not sullied. It's the unsullied sport.
I'd like them to win. I'd like to see it happen. And
I still bet on hockey.
Yeah, he does. I don't. So, but I think if I did, like if I watched enough hockey where I felt comfortable betting on it. I would stop caring.
Yeah. It would ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saskatchewan. Why are you Saskatchewan?
That's where the wife's from, and we go to the games. We try to go to a game every year when we're up there.
What's the weather?
During the summer, it's great. When we're going up for Christmas this year, it'll be minus 30. It'll suck.
Oh, yeah. That's miserable.
Are they playing games? Well, how late do they play games?
They go into November. So
weather like there?
The last couple of years when it's been outside, the Grey Cup has been a blizzard bowl.
Yeah.
Which is fun to watch. I love watching football and that kind of stuff.
You do?
Not being there, but watching it on TV.
On TV.
I don't want to be there for that crap.
It's easy.
It's a lot better than 120 degrees like it was at UH Saturday.
That's true.
Oh, that was terrible. They showed 110. Boy, you didn't see it on TV, huh? Did you watch it at the stadium?
No, God, no.
On TV, it was an Ed Oliver
Fest. Fred's boycotting the games.
Yeah, I'm not
Why?
Going.
Because they hired
a guy who supported rape.
Yeah.
Oh, the Kendall Briles thing.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, I'll still root for the team. I want the players to do well, but they're not getting any of my money.
No, that's understandable.
Got called a great game.
Well, yeah,
he's a great offensive mind. But I got you.
No question that he's made them significantly better, and that he's damn good at what he does. But it doesn't sit right with me.
No, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I will say they did look really good in general, and Kevin Sumlin has got to be like. Let's see. I get destroyed by U of H. I watch A&M barely get beat by Clemson and show a lot of guts in the process. And my team gets slaughtered. And I've got one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in college football. And he's done nothing for 2 weeks in a row.
And how about your guy Kyler Murray who didn't do anything for
you? Kyler Murray with 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's after, what, 4 last week? Like Kyler Murray right now is trending towards Manhattan.
I want to tweet him to congratulate him, but he blocked me on Twitter years ago. So
who
I
did?
Kyler Murray.
Why did he block you?
When he was Aggie, he blocked me on Twitter.
What would you do?
I said something about him being too small, and someone tagged him in it.
Did you guys see Pat Starr did a cut up of Deshaun Watson and like, look, here where his feet were a problem, that was one of the issues. And then of course Pat's pretty much a homer. And then he talked about, you know, but then he did this, which is really, really good. And Deshaun Watson's like, keep that same energy. And like Pat's like, well, I'm just showing something. He goes, no, don't change. Keep it up just like that. Keep it up just like that. Like he got all salty about somebody daring to say that his footwork wasn't very good. I mean, whatever. Don't get like that, Deshaun. Don't be. You didn't play well. It is what it is. Just move forward.
We were doing really well on the clock until he showed up.
Yeah, that's what happens. We had a meeting about this, John. They weren't there.
We're wild animals.
No, we had our own meeting.
Did you?
Our meeting was like trying to tell the Warriors how to get better.
You know, Todd wants to tell us all these things that are wrong with us, and he just can't. He's like, oh, well, you guys are doing good, I guess.
Leave you alone. Yeah, that didn't stop people with me and John in the past. They've always like, we know you've got like a 4'8 now, but we're going to change the name from The Bench to John and Lance. We are going to add another host to your show. They made all right. And then they watched our ratings drop by almost 70%.
And we also want you to wear clown suits throughout the show. Yeah, that'll be...